So let us move into our Vent Day segment, which is going to stick to this very same subject and also talk about vote by mail. Emily Cureton's in the room with me, so you can start racking up the phone calls and the emails now about homelessness and voting by mail. 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start, obviously, with the homeless issue, because several communities up and down the region dealing with it. Many through the passage of ordinances. Fortuna went most recently, ironically, as we mentioned, the same day Eureka police cleared out the Palco Marsh camp. Fortuna's ordinance bans aggressive and intrusive solicitation through some definitions of what that is. It bears some similarity to Eureka's ordinance in effect since the middle of April. That's the same month Springfield City Council voted to put a stop to people handing money and food to people panhandling by the roadside in an ordinance similar to measures already passed in Roseburg and Medford. Ashland, with its many summer tourists, has stiffened codes of behavior on panhandlers and budgeted for new police cadets and a number of beds at the Jackson County Jail. We asked a number of questions yesterday and are asking them now of you.
That's right, Jeff. We kept it pretty open-ended on our survey. The first question did deal directly with our previous segment. In a general sense, we asked people, do you support police action to evict homeless people from public areas? So the results there, we got 43 responses overnight. Seemed to have really touched a nerve in Redding and Northern California, where many of those came from. Do you support police action to evict homeless people from public areas? Two-thirds said yes, always. So about 65% of the people who took our survey, 14% said no, and another 16% said yes if alternative housing is offered. We put that caveat up there. A couple of outliers picked other, but not too many. The other question we asked people was, tell us about a personal experience with homelessness and or homeless people that you've had. Of the 43 who took the survey, 28 took the time to share an anecdote or write a few words, and we'll be able to share those during this segment of The Exchange.
Okay. It is Vince Day on The Exchange, 800-838-3760, to talk about homelessness, experiences with it from any direction, or jx@jeffnet.org. Item two, ballots have arrived for Oregon voters, reminding us that it's been about two decades since the last time polling places opened for elections in Oregon. So younger voters are about to vote with no memory at all of polling place elections. You'll notice that Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon, who was the beneficiary of the first statewide vote-by-mail election when he first got elected to the Senate, yesterday said that he was going to introduce a national bill to allow vote-by-mail in every state. So let's hear from you. Are you nostalgic for polling places in any way? If you're a younger voter, did you wish you had them? If you're in Oregon, is mail voting the best thing since sliced bread or a dent in democracy? If you're in California, are you ready to follow Oregon and stay home on Election Day? We can also talk about long lines and primaries and some of the other issues that have cropped up just in recent weeks. Vents Day deals with voting by mail and approaches to homelessness. Your comments on the air in 1 minute.
It's Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Cureton here with Jeffrey Riley, and we are shepherding two topics for the next segment. One of them is how you feel about homelessness in your community, and do you agree with police action to evict homeless people from public areas? What about these panhandling ordinances that are proliferating across our region? The other topic, vote by mail. It is now the norm in Oregon. Do you remember a time when that wasn't so, and do you miss it? What about in California? Are you voting by mail, and how does that change your experience as a citizen? You can give us a call, 800-838-3760, or email us your comments, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Jeff, I'm sitting here with about 30 responses from our online survey in front of me that are rather detailed.
I was surprised at how quickly people responded to this one. I mean, we get different levels of interest in different topics we stick up there, but this one was like kaboom all at once.
Right. I mean, you've been out for the last few days, so we were somewhat scrambling on our timeline to get this up, and it does seem that we touched a nerve in Northern California. Many of our responses came from Redding. Our previous segment, of course, was about a marsh area in Eureka that has been eviction is an interesting word to use when you talk about people who don't have homes, as we say it. But yeah, Palco Marsh, over 100, maybe 150 people living there, sort of swept out by city police this week. Our survey, you know, by and large, we seem to have tapped into some real frustration, and I am at a crossroads myself here choosing which comments to share, because there's definitely some dehumanizing language in here. Like Robert in Reading wrote in, "Get the hell out. It's not for crashing like a transient," speaking about Reading. "These places will get trashed like every other homeless camp." So Robert's comments there are among some of the tamer. Another Robert in French Gulch, California, he wrote in "Our tiny town, we're overrun with homeless along one country road only 2 miles long. They left garbage everywhere and filled every campsite reserved for two-week visitors for months, not to mention in the bushes every day. They are drug addicted and don't want help. They want to beg and use people." So a lot of they's and those peoples in our survey results. That one came from Robert in French Gulch talking about issues there. And I think, you know, there were 44 tons of garbage pulled out of Palco Marsh this week. Sanitation, we had some questions about that earlier. Certainly issues that I can understand why they would drive frustration.
Absolutely. Here's a call from Charmaine in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Topics are homelessness and voting by mail.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'll tell you what. I moved to Oregon 4 years ago, and I had lived in California. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm sick to death of them. And I worked as a nurse in a jail for 4 years in San Luis Obispo County. Jail, and I've worked 5 years in a methadone clinic. I'd like to preface that I'm a tree hugger, I'm vegan, animal rights, environmental activist, but I am sick to death of bums everywhere. And all these towns are being played.
Charmaine, do you make a differentiation between bums and people who are maybe homeless but don't deserve the title of bums, or is that just the term applied uniformly?
Okay, there are a few people who probably lost jobs, have a difficult time, but I can tell you I had a hard time getting my nursing license at first in Oregon because of my fingerprints being worn off, and while I waited for it to come through as I kept getting re-fingerprinted, I got a job cleaning houses. You do what you have to do. Also, you get together with people and you share places. You get roommates. But most of the people laying around on the streets in Eugene, they do not want to work. They get given medical, they get given food, they get given health, their health care, their food, little Calistoga huts, crisis intervention, so they can just lay up and drink and drug all they want. I volunteer to help clean up along the river, and I also volunteer on my own time along the bike path. And I have picked up so much litter. I have picked up so many cigarette butts. Everywhere you go, there's tents where they put up by the river. They put them under the conifers. They're under all the overpasses. They finally put up fencing under some of them. Well, then they all go to the other one. There was so much trash there the other day by the Rose Garden. I call the police each time. I've talked to the mayor yesterday. There's mattresses, there's just crap, honestly, everywhere. And a lot of these are the so-called travelers. Well, these are basically young white kids who ought to be working or in school.
All right, Charmaine, thanks so much for your thoughts. Appreciate you letting us know candidly what you're thinking about. So let's get other thoughts out there from people on Vince Day, because there's a lot of stuff that came in from our survey about approaches to homelessness and stories that people have of dealing to homelessness. Charmaine obviously had one to tell. Let's hear yours. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org, or other topic, voting by mail. But the survey is on homelessness.
That's right, Jeff. Charlene's comments there echoed something Michelle from Reading sent in just a few words here. She said, "Beautiful tennis courts and library that are too dangerous for children. River trails littered with trash, needles, and feces, unsafe for solo runners." So speaking to, you know, would facilities, you know, acknowledging that people exist make a difference, since many of the complaints here are about litter and sanitation for feces and going to the bathroom. Charlene's point was interesting in thinking of mental health issues and why people are homeless and how our perception of why they're homeless may inform or predict how we treat them. Charmaine, excuse me. So this one I'll share next comes from Roy in Reading. It's a pretty specific anecdote. Roy relates the story of a man knocking on my door at 3 a.m, claiming he was my father while displaying classic signs of meth abuse. He told me to call him an ambulance, so I did, also explaining to the 911 operator that he was clearly insane. No ambulance ever came, but the police did. They approached him with guns drawn and asked me if I knew him when I confirmed that I didn't and just wanted him out of my yard. They walked him across the street and sat him on the curb and left. So that from Roy in Reading.
I do hear the frustration out there, which is what leads to things like the ordinance in Ashland, where there was discussion of spending upwards several dozen thousand dollars, I think it was $75,000, for a program to put sort of a work program for homeless people, which the city ultimately decided not to do, and decided instead to hire 4 more police cadets and to order 2 more beds to be reserved just for the city of Ashland and the Jackson County Jail. Ashland's a place that lives on tourism. You got the same, in fact, we had the mayors of Ashland and Eugene on at the same time talking about the travelers that Charmaine referenced.
Mm-hmm. I remember the difference between them was really was dramatic to me listening.
Yeah, but just the idea of trying to get places for people to walk and not feeling like they're always getting hassled. I mean, I hear that. It gets mentioned a lot.
Yeah, I certainly hear that. I mean, the societal, the problems that we might be taking on here, if you're going to take on addiction, mental illness, a whole slew of things that maybe occur with a high, you know, are associated with homelessness versus not wanting to be hassled on the street. One is certainly easier to solve with a couple of police cadets. I see that. But that's perhaps my 2 cents here on Vince Day. We definitely want yours. 800-838-3760. All views on homelessness and also your memories of voting at polling places and how you feel about voting by mail. You can drop them off at jx@jeffnet.org.
If you have any nostalgia for the polling place elections, when you look at the lines in places like Arizona during its presidential primary a couple of weeks ago, noticing that they really dropped the number of polling places and there were long lines. Does that make you not nostalgic for polling places if you had any in the first place? 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Michael in Bayside. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Hey, I am nostalgic about polling places disappearing, but I want to talk about so-called homeless, because I'm old enough to remember when we did not have so many down-and-out folks on our streets.
Mm-hmm.
And younger people today kind of have always seen that. That's become the new normal. And, you know, whether the immediate cause of somebody being on the street is methamphetamine or too many tours in Afghanistan or just not being able to find a job in this economy, you know, these folks really are victims of the kind of class war that was set loose on working class people in the 80s and has been marching along ever since. You know, the constant refusal to cut taxes and spend money on the military, and it's been going on for decades. And we now live in a culture where the least fortunate among us are our enemies.
So do
we
have
really need, and I certainly sympathize with folks who don't want trash or, you know, destructive behavior in their backyards. I mean, I don't happen to have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate, but, you know, we're not going to solve it until we look a little bit higher than the immediate problem and look at what's going on in our culture and look at, really, the issue Bernie Sanders is talking about.
All right, so look at the causes of the situation and inequality. Thank you for that, Michael and Bayside. I'd appreciate that.
That sort of sounds a similar note to one I got from Kathleen in Brookings on our Jefferson Exchange survey, which you can find on our Facebook page as well as our website, jeffexchange.org. We ask people to just tell us about a personal experience with homelessness and or homeless people. Kathleen in Brookings wrote that when she first moved to Oregon, she was technically homeless, living in a leaky camp trailer on a Forest Service camp and doing some commercial mushroom picking. So she prefaced that. this with that, saying, "So since I've been homeless here in Oregon, I try to remember that within every homeless person there is a human being just like me who may just be down on their luck, or maybe is just starting over, or maybe they just need a break for a little while. These people deserve our compassion and our efforts to help make their situation a little bit easier to bear." That comes from Kathleen in Brookings.
There was some reference in there as I glanced at the comments last night to pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, which we had a guest a couple weeks ago, totally unrelated, but who said, "I want to point out that's physically impossible to do. You can't pull yourself up physically by your bootstraps." So interesting comment there. A number of new callers here today. Good to see that. Carlton in Jacksonville. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thank you. I have a comment about what's created this situation and possibly a partial solution. I agree with the Bayside caller that we've had 30, 40 years of lack of opportunities for people. Two things happen at the same time when jobs are outsourced and all the other things we've heard ad infinitum. The other thing that happens is when people give up, they turn to substance abuse and domestic abuse and self-loathing. President Reagan was the person who started emptying out the mental wards. These people are wandering around. So these are the things that have helped create it. I wonder if this could work if a parcel of land, maybe 25, 50 acres out in the country, get some starter money, create some modest housing, gardens, maybe some livestock, chickens, what have you. And as long as you're willing, as a homeless person, to help build some more barracks, a bad choice of name, but some more housing, and contribute, you can stay there. The moment a lot of people address there's laziness. Well, if they'll help, they can stay. If they just sit down and do nothing, then they can't go back to Ashland and beg.
Something like the Civilian Conservation Corps during the Depression, putting people to work. Interesting concept. Thanks for that, Carlton. Appreciate it. We have to, and I'm still astonished at the number of people, and these are not just like 40 or so lightweight comments. These are people who really had things to say when they got into the survey,
right,
Emily?
I'm looking at one here from Lauren in Reading. Lauren took the time to write us actually something like an essay, and I'm just going to pick a few moments from it here. Lauren's 61. She lives in Reading. She says, "This is the second time I've witnessed this in my 61 years, and I feel powerless to stop it." She's talking about, "I get it that some homeless have mental health issues, but for the purposes of this writing, I'm focusing on transients and the perpetually homeless that are taking over my community. I grew up in a beautiful, quiet little coastal town in Central California in the 1970s. And then she talks about the transient population grew rapidly and brought with them a multitude of problems, including panhandling, theft, drug issues, and breaking into unoccupied homes, often squatting there and destroying the home until they move on. Lauren writes, "I run the risk of appearing heartless in writing this, but I am absolutely fed up with catering to the homeless and transient populations. Once again, I'm witnessing a community that's Reading adapting to and becoming indifferent to these populations as they slowly take over our city. I'm angry with those people that put the rights of the homeless and transients over my own as they discuss building homeless villages for them. I don't have the magic answer, but I know we need to work together and find a common ground between let's build the homeless condos," she puts that in quotes, "and quote, ride them out on the rails," unquote, groups. "We have to do this before we allow ourselves to be dominated by these populations due to our own misguided generosity." So that comes from Lauren in Reading, 61 years old. Are we so generous, Jeff? I wonder.
That is one of the questions on the table today. Are we doing too much for homeless people, do you feel? Are we not doing enough? I mean, that comment you just heard finds a middle ground between them, says we got to find some place that we haven't found yet. What do you think we could be doing, should be doing to help get homeless people off the streets? The other topic on this Vince Day, voting by mail, whether you think it should happen everywhere for everybody, or whether maybe we should restore polling place elections, even in places like Oregon that no longer have them. 800-838-3760. Actually, all the phone lines are busy. jx@jeffnet.org is our email address. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, until we come to the sad realization that homelessness is a nationwide problem, not just a local problem, we're not going to be able to do anything to solve the problem. That's as far as I'm going to go on that one.
Mm-hmm.
On vote by mail, I do it here in California because the first time I went to vote, the uninformed person who was in charge of the polling place at the time I went in disallowed me to vote for my Green Party candidates because he didn't know what, he hadn't been to the meeting that his wife, who was actually supposed to be in charge but who wasn't there, was, you know, privy to. He didn't have the information, so he wouldn't allow me to vote on the things I wanted to vote on. Then when I handed him what ballot he'd allowed me to vote on, he looked through, it was a punch card ballot, he looked through and checked all the numbers before he put it in the box.
Huh.
So I voted by mail here in California ever since. I'm going to take that back. I will speak a little bit more on the homeless thing. I go to the library on a daily basis here in Redding, and I see, yes, indeed, there are homeless people there, but there's also a security guard there, and the security guard makes sure that there are no problems. It's perfectly safe to take one's children to the library. There's even a particular restroom, a family restroom, if you have children of the opposite sex that you don't want to have going into a restroom on their own, or take them into one of the...
All right, so you dispute the idea that there's generally unsafe conditions at some of the public places in Redding. Mark, thank you for that very much. What else do we have from the survey that that bears repeating?
Well, we have a lot, Jeff, and a lot of it is repetitive itself. I mean, people are frustrated. It's palpable. We did get one. Andrew in Ashland wrote in via Facebook. He said, "This is a tough one. I usually have an opinion, but it's just too complicated for a simple answer." So he's kind of the one respondent who... eschewed actually answering the question, but then it got me thinking that it is a tough one and that you kind of will sink your teeth into whatever it is that bothers you the most about it, whether it's feeling unsafe or uncomfortable with your family, if it's litter, if it's a sanitation issue, if it's a compassion issue, if, how many addiction treatments or how do we view addiction in our society and those who are most racked by it? For me, that's the question it raises. For other people, it doesn't raise that at all. We've had this conversation within JPR's newsroom before. So it's really a privilege to see these views come out on our survey. And I would encourage our listeners to like us on Facebook so that you can get these in your feed every week.
All right. More calls. John and Vanita, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes. My name's John. I'm in Vanita. And I would like to open by saying I'm 63 years old. I was born and raised here in Lane County, Oregon. I spent 21-plus years working in the woods as a tree planter, a logger, choker setter, and firefighter, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that process, I became disabled. And so for the last 15 years, I've been homeless, and except for the last 8 months. I am now currently in an apartment that takes so much of my income that every month I am, I spend 3 weeks with no money.
Uh-huh.
And, it's difficult. It's actually more difficult as far as my PTSD goes for me to live in this apartment and deal with the stuff here than it is to live out on the street. The problem with that is after, like I say, 15 years on the street, you develop an attitude and it's really hard to stop that the world is sort of against you.
So you were the chronically homeless. You were one of the people out there all the time.
Yes, 15 straight years I've been living out in the woods. And I refuse to call myself homeless. I'm an illegal camper. And, I've been cited for illegal camping. I've been, have had my stuff destroyed by the system. And after a while, you can't, there's nothing you can do except admit that you are the bottom rung of society. You are basically trash, and this is a throwaway society. So they throw away the trash. And so all of us down at the bottom here have been thrown away. And it's really difficult. Like I say, for the last 8 months, I've been inside an apartment. And it's here. I'm sitting here shaking in my apartment trying to talk to you about this because it's such an overwhelming experience. Once you've been out there for 15 years or so, getting back into society is almost impossible. The only thing that got me into this apartment is I have some of my old working friends that when I planted trees that lived here, and they helped me to get in by more or less lobbying for me.
So they just stayed on you until you agreed to come back indoors.
Pardon me?
They just stayed on you until you agreed to come back indoors?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. No, they could care less whether I live or die. But it's the simple fact that when I said, I'm getting too old to stay out in the woods now. I have to come indoors. And I anticipated the whole time I was in my 20s and 30s that by the time I got to be 50 or 60 years old, I'd be able to find an apartment. Well, the simple truth is they didn't build any apartments for 30 or 40 years. And during that time, we had a huge increase in the population in Oregon. And so I found myself sleeping out in the woods on the BLM lands, constantly harassed by the sheriffs, the BLM cops, the state police, being bounced from here to there, bounced from here to there. And then finally, I was able to save up $2,000. I get $800 a month, Social Security. I was able to save $2,000 to buy myself into this one-bedroom apartment, which takes $525 of my $800. I have to pay utilities out of that. And so, you know, it's not my fault that I was out there homeless. It was just a simple fact that there was no place that I could afford to move into.
All right, John, thanks so much for sharing that story with us. It's a gripping story that indicates levels of distrust in all directions, it seems like, Emily.
Yeah, I wish we had more time. I'd love to ask John how the comments in this last hour made him feel and, you know, if he had any particular response. But looks like we're about out of time, Jeff.
That is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Another lively discussion about homelessness. And maybe, just maybe through these discussions, we can come closer to finding solutions to our problems as well. Homelessness and voting by mail, the topics. You have been the guest. Thanks for joining us on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange.